There we go.
Excellent.
Apparently he can't use a period, otherwise he doesn't turn on.
Well, I'm sorry that we, I guess we're just going to have to turn our backs on our degrees, huh?
And it's not really a sentence anyway, so no reason to have a period.
Yes, that's true.
Unless you're hoping to have a baby, in which case the period is a natural part of the biological reproduction system.
Yes. But Sam is going to get her period forever, so we don't have to worry about that.
David's still in the room for some reason. Anyway, well, hello and welcome back to Real Horror Show. I'm your host, Samantha, and I'm joined, as always, by the Stormy Skies.
Hello.
Stormy, how's your week been?
My week has been very good, Sam. Just a little tired and getting used to my new work routine. How has your week been?
Oh, boy. I'm glad you've asked, because we only talk on the podcast, so you have no idea what I've been through this week.
None at all. I wish we would reach out to each other outside the podcast, but that would go against the Lord of God's rules.
Exactly. So, Monday.
Yes.
Went to the mailbox. I work at a church. For those of you who don't know, I'm a parish administrator. Take with that what you will. I went out and got the mail at 11 a.m., around the same time I always do, because the mail gets dropped off around then. And inside was a mysterious little folded piece of notebook paper addressed to my church and James Bond. Was weird from the get-go, but I didn't think much of it. I thought, oh, this innocent child is writing to a church for the first time and probably thinks Jesus is like James Bond or something. Maybe that's how his parents explained it to him. I don't know. So I go inside, and now the back of this piece of paper is like really fucking folded and taped shut. Like, I can't penetrate the tape to open it delicately, so I'm doing the best I can, all the while jokingly thinking to myself, I'm about to get anthraxed.
Oh no.
And I can feel there is something inside this envelope, something sturdy. So I'm like, oh, maybe he sent us a gift card because he knows churches do philanthropic stuff. And he may know that we do stuff with homeless women. So he's sending like a Kroger gift card to give to them. No, instead, there was an unmarked CD and a contact sheet of other churches, not just in Southwest Virginia, but all over the country and one in Canada. The only commonality was they were Episcopalians and Lutherans.
Interesting. I didn't know that detail.
Yeah. So, since James Bond wasn't available, I decided to wait until after work to go to my boyfriend's parents' computer shop, because they can open it without worrying about viruses, because clearly that's the main concern when you receive a computer, anything, in the mail from an unmarked homemade envelope. There was no virus. We've yet to find a virus on it. Instead, there were roughly 700 Word and audio files, all of them copy and pasted news articles that were heavily political and religious in nature. And now these weren't just your sloppily done copy-paste jobs. They were reformatted to look nice in the Word document, all of them, and they all had some commentary written by the sender, and the sender goes by the name the Black Dragon.
Dun dun dun!
We're like, huh, this is some really fucking weird shit, and so we spent the next 2 hours at my apartment, my boyfriend and I, going through these files, and just very not overtly threatening. There were no direct threats made to us, but just very unsettling, because some of the comments involved, you know, calling something a false religion. And since it was sent to Episcopalians and Lutherans, it's possible he was saying we're false religions and one about asking for details about overthrowing the Kuwait government. I don't know. I don't know. It was the weirdest shit, and every single one signed off yours truly, the Black Dragon. So, I've already posted this on Twitter, but since he seems to be literally anti-everything, I'm assuming he's also anti-capitalism, I've made t-shirts. Right now the link is private because I handed the materials over to the police and I don't want them thinking I made this up just to sell t-shirts.
Just to sell t-shirts. Well, these t-shirts are cool.
They're awesome. And I ordered a mug and a t-shirt, and one of my friends ordered a t-shirt. So get yours today, and let's just make this Black Dragon dude a fucking meme. I mean, it won't be funny if he actually does, like, do some act of terrorism. But for now, it'll be really funny.
Oh, no. But Sam, don't forget to tell everybody what day today is, the day that we're recording.
Yeah, today's 9/11, so I think that's part of the reason the police are taking this a little seriously is because we received it the week of the 18th anniversary of 9/11, and all the articles are politically charged. And so, you know, around this time, I feel like they're all a little more cautious than usual.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so how weird. My week's been going.
Wow, never a dull moment. I'll always remember. We should do like a never forget hashtag for this, but like I'll never forget on Monday when you sent me the picture.
Well,
although
yeah,
we don't talk
outside
the podcast.
Yeah, because even though we don't talk outside the podcast, I sent you a picture as soon as I got it. Like that was before I even opened it. I was just like, because I also sent it to David, like, look at this weird fucking shit I just got in the mail. What a dumb kid.
And then I opened it, and then, yeah.
Just the gradual, like, wait, there's just a CD in here. And a contact list. What the fuck is happening?
Yes, and then from there on, our lives will be changed forever.
It feels like it because the church I'm working at, we've had it on the back burner since I started working. So a year and a half to kind of fix some of the security issues we have in the building I work in, because on the second floor, we have a small homeless shelter for women and they're pretty safe up there. They have a nice sturdy security door with a keypad on it just in case, you know, they have an abusive spouse or have made somebody mad. But you know what? I have fucking nothing. And I can't lock my office door because I don't have a window in the door. So
yeah, and then people just like come in and out.
The shit freaked me out yesterday because with the air conditioning on, and I usually have music or podcast or YouTube video going on in the background while I'm doing work.
Yeah.
I can't hear the front door open. And that's the one thing I said. If nothing else happens, I want a little bell on the door so I can hear when people come in and out.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the easiest thing to do. So I didn't hear the woman who spearheads the homeless shelter upstairs come into the building. And she doesn't knock before coming into my office. So she just barges in and Jesus Christ.
God, that would scare the shit out of me, especially if I was like in the middle of work. I'd be like, what the fuck?
I told the junior warden, like, Betty Lee could have been bashed over the head yesterday because she came in without knocking and I wasn't expecting anyone to just come on in.
Fucking Betty Lee, god damn it.
But yeah.
Damn her.
Here's what the thing about overthrowing the government says, and David says it. He's not really talking about overthrowing the government, but just, you know, asking for details about it. Please provide detailed information concerning the provision of education and healthcare to people in Afghanistan under the current earlier governments of Afghanistan. Please provide a list of those coercive measures that you would like NATO to take against the current government of Afghanistan in order to improve things. Also, please provide detailed plans and other information concerning your proposal to overthrow the current government of Kuwait. Who would do this and how would this be financed? So I think that's part of the reason the police are taking this a little seriously. It's the weirdest shit. It's spooky. You might even say
it's creepy.
You might even say it's the real horror show.
And I would say it's a real horror show for sure.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad for the guy if he is like up to something, because he's clearly, some of the documents date back to like 2017. So clearly he's been assembling this shit and working very hard on it for 2 years. And who does he send it to? The one church secretary with a podcast who knows how to work the internet and made his whole, who made his manifesto a fucking t-shirt.
Yeah. Bad idea for this guy, because everything he just did is about to just backfire in his face because we're making it like a joke.
No, and really, what's worse, being arrested or being a joke on the internet?
I would say being a joke on the internet sure comes in first place for me. How embarrassing. Yikes.
A fucking loser.
Yeah, fucking loser. Fucking hashtag the black dragon.
Yes, bitch is more like it.
No, he couldn't have thought of like a cooler fucking name.
Yeah. But you know what else is really scary? Chernobyl.
Yeah.
I bet the citizens of Chernobyl wish they received a creepy parcel in the mail when they had to evacuate.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Chernobyl is the real horror show.
And it just so happens we're talking about the Chernobyl diaries today.
Oh yeah, we are. Great transition.
The Chernobyl Diaries is a 2012 American disaster horror film directed by Brad Parker and produced by Oren Pielet, who also wrote the story. The film stars Jonathan Sadowski, Jesse McCartney, Devin Kelly, Olivia Taylor-Dudley, Nathan Phillips, and two other people whose names I won't even try and pronounce. And it was shot on location in Pripyat, Hungary, and Serbia.
Pripyat.
So
I was gonna ask if it was like filmed on site, because it looked like exactly like the same place. So I was like, did they go there? And they did. So therefore, they're not sick.
It's really interesting how this was filmed on site. So they had to spend at least a few days there, and yet no one's died from radiation. But in the movie, they make it seem like the radiation will kill you in like 10 hours.
Yep, straight to your skin on your face.
Oh, you know, I guess we can get into it with the acting.
Yes, so everyone bear with me who's listening. I have been pretty like mentally exhausted, so I just didn't take any like notes. I just watched it. So right now it's all in my head, so I'm gonna pretty much try to go off of the stuff that Sam says, and then but I remember pretty much everything. Yeah.
You fool. I didn't take any notes either.
Oh, what the fuck? That's okay.
This is what happens when one person's usually very type A and takes great notes, so the other person really slacks, and then the type A person is lazy 1 week.
It won't happen again, but actually I think that you and I would just be able to talk about it anyway, because there wasn't that much that happened anyway.
This movie isn't very complex. For those of you who aren't Stormy and are my age, Jesse McCartney's in this fucking movie, and I spent like the first 30 minutes like, who the fuck is that? Why does he look 12 years old and really familiar? And so when I looked up this movie to look up some trivia, it's fucking Jesse McCartney. Like the teen heartthrob of my elementary school days.
Aww. I don't think I listened to any Jesse McCartney, so I simply didn't recognize him.
How did you never hear Beautiful Soul?
I heard it. I just didn't know what he had looked like.
Yeah, he's just your generic pretty boy. He was originally a member of Dream Street.
Dream Street.
Yeah. So anyway, he's kind of, I don't know, I felt like he was supposed to be the main character, but then his brother became the main character. I don't know. All the acting was like your typical B movie acting, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
The only person I really liked was Yuri, who is the Russian tour guide.
I liked Yuri too.
But it was great. And what's your opinion on tourism of Pripyat?
Pripyat. Yeah. I think that people should just I'm sure going there is fine, especially for people who are very, very into everything that happened. But I don't think it should be some sort of a fun willy-nilly thing to go to. It shouldn't be treated like an amusement park or something like that, because I feel like it's taken too lightheartedly. Yes. Because remember when Chernobyl came out and people just fucking flocked there?
Yeah, all the Instagram influencers went and were taking very uncomfortably sexy photos there. It's just
you just have to use common sense, and you just have to kind of that's because stuff like that was in poor taste. You know what I mean? There's a right way to visit and honor and understand what happened. And there's a wrong way to visit and think it's a funny, cool thing just to say you were there and take a sexy selfie. If you want to do that, just simply go to an abandoned building, somewhere around, because there are lots of abandoned places.
For me, I love, urban exploration. I think as long as it's done respectfully, like you said, it's super cool. And I love seeing the photos and videos of how nature reclaims these abandoned buildings throughout the world. And Chernobyl is the biggest example of that anywhere. And the one thing I can't stand about urban exploration is when people just go in there and break shit, steal stuff. These used to be people's homes, especially in Pripyat.
Yes.
They had no warning. They just had to leave everything behind, and it's still there because they haven't been able to really take anything home because of the radiation levels, and it's sad. And for people to kind of disrespect that, it's kind of like a dick move.
Yeah. A good example of that would be in the movie when the one character tried to take something with him, and the guy and Yuri was like, no, you can't steal. It's not yours. You know what I mean?
And when they introduced Yuri, I was worried he was going to be that sketchy tour guide. It's totally legal to do this. But he was what I would want my tour guide of Pripyat to be.
Yeah, I agree with that too, because he was extremely informative, and he kept it moving, and he also kept everyone pretty safe. So that's the right way to do something like that. And he's like, okay, well, we can't stay too long because just a precaution. We don't want to do this, don't want to do that, and all that. But going off what you said before, the people, they had to leave right away. I think in the miniseries, they were given maybe 5 or 10 minutes to pack one suitcase. Everyone was allowed just one suitcase on the buses. You know what I mean? And so they could still take some stuff, but they had to leave everything else behind, and everything else kind of just stayed where it was, in the same place that it was whatever year that was, in the '80s. So
it's so fucking wild. I can't imagine having to go through that myself, especially if I were to have children and having to explain what's going on. I don't know. I know in terms of finding renewable energy sources, nuclear power is coming up more and more, and I haven't done a lot of research myself, but I know it tends to be one of the safer renewable options, or is it non-renewable? I don't remember. But after what happened,
what nuclear energy?
Yeah, because it was nuclear.
It's the cleanest. Yeah,
it's the cleanest. But at the same time, this shit could happen. And do we really want to like go through that again? I don't know.
No.
I guess if it's one city versus an entire planet, maybe that'll make the decision a little easier, but I don't know. It's crazy to think.
Well, that's why that's why I'm really glad that the Chernobyl like miniseries kind of is available for people to see, because I like the whole time when you like think about Chernobyl, you're just sitting there like, what like happened though? You know? And it explains everything that happened, how it happened, because it was an internal like error that caused the meltdown to happen. Because like it got way too hot in the core, and there was some sort of an internal mechanical error that when you pressed like the emergency off button, instead of turning off, it caused it to get like three times as hot, and then that's what caused that meltdown to happen because of all these other technical things, because of the materials used, and it was like a big like issue that like Russia didn't want anyone to know that this was a mistake made by them, so it was kind of like kept on the DL. But if you watch it, you'll understand a little better that like stuff like that won't happen now because of all like the precautions. But like that was like a human error, like whoever built the place did the incorrect thing by using the incorrect materials that caused this to happen. And when they pushed off, it turned on like three times over. And so it was just like this whole big crazy fiasco. And yes, so that's kind of like a summarization of like how it happened.
That's good information, because in the 30 years since it, I think we have a better understanding of why it happened, and then just a better understanding of using nuclear energy and making it safer for the towns that will inevitably be surrounded by nuclear energy, because with those kind of factories, a lot of jobs are created and then cities pop up. That's why you have all these little coal towns spread throughout Appalachia. Who the fuck is calling me? It's probably a spam call.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not gonna answer it.
Fuck it. You gonna answer it? Okay.
I'm not gonna answer it.
You answer okay. It. Well, remember the one time you answered the phone and like it was like the best phone call, because it was like pray, send a prayer. Do you want someone to pray for you?
Oh, press God, I love that so much.
That was great.
All right. So not much more to talk about acting. I guess let's get into story. Is there a story? It's kind of a story.
That was also my question. Was there a story?
Basically, everybody who didn't watch along with us, because we didn't release a mini episode this week, we're busy. Leave us alone.
I didn't even realize that. I felt that there might be something missing, and then I just like totally just forgot all about that. Okay, no worries. Like,
basically, a group of Americans are going around Russia, and the big brother decides to surprise everyone with a tour of Pripyat, like you do, and shit goes wild, and they all die one by one. The end.
And
there's a bear.
Yeah, what the fuck was all that about? That was fucking stupid.
I won't lie, the bear jump scare actually did get me, but that's because I wasn't really paying attention, and suddenly there's something roaring on the screen running straight for me.
Dude, it scared me too, because I didn't like, I wasn't sitting there like, oh yeah, a bear's coming. I just know it. The fuck?
It's always the fucking bear. Friday the 13th, watch out for the goddamn bear.
Right? Yeah, it's like, it's coming. Oh lord, he's coming.
But yeah, that's the story. I would give the story like a D-, because there isn't really one. And while doing a little bit of research for the show, obviously this movie offended some people, and the director and writer were like, well, we didn't mean to offend anyone. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Brad and Oren. You're making a gimmicky horror movie about like a pretty big world tragedy that happened. You didn't think people would be offended?
Yeah, like a lot of people's like family members fucking died horrifically. That's another reason why I want you to watch Chernobyl, because it gives you a really, really fantastic visual idea of the effects of radiation poisoning immediately and then over time.
Awesome. It's on my watch list. I need to watch it. But you didn't mean to offend anybody, but let's put this in perspective for Brad and Oren. Imagine the fucking shit show. Imagine the fucking shit show that would happen if some foreign filmmaker made a gimmicky zombie horror movie focused on 9/11 or the Holocaust or any other horrific thing that happened in the world.
Yes.
There would be no question. And I feel like Chernobyl's the same way. And I feel like the whole Chernobyl incident is scary enough that you don't need to add radioactive zombies into the mix.
I know, right? Like, what the fuck?
I get why people would have been upset by this movie coming out, because it is such a gimmicky horror movie. I wouldn't call it exploitative, but just... Come on, like,
your taste.
Chernobyl was so horrifying for the people who actually had to live through it, and you're like, huh, this would make a really good horror movie with, like, radioactive zombies. Were they zombies, or were they just people affected by radiation? That would make it so much worse if they were just normal people affected by radiation.
Dude, but they made it out like they were, like, insane radioactive zombies, because they were like, yeah, they're from the they're escapees from the hospital nearby. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't think that's what radiation would do. It would kill them. It would be a horrible, painful death, like you said.
They'd all be fucking dead. What the fuck? It's fucking whatever, man. Just, I don't know.
And then I guess you could argue that they're the babies of the people from Chernobyl. And that's so much worse. Have you seen pictures of what the Chernobyl babies looked like after the radiation?
Like kind of. Not really, though.
Probably fucked up. I don't have a problem with, you know, people being affected by radiation and going mad because of it. I love The Hills Have Eyes, and that's basically that story. But it's made up. It didn't happen to real people.
Yeah, exactly. The radiation, it doesn't make you go crazy. It just makes you get cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the people, like a good example of that would be like the people that were near Chernobyl, and they were like trying to figure out like what happened and stuff, like the scientists. Like, because of their knowledge of radiation poisoning, they were like, well, because of like the amount of like contact we've had with the irradiated site, we have 5 years to live. And like, that was on the mark. They all died within 5 years of like, you know, like certain cancers, illnesses caused by radiation. But the people that were like the firefighters on scene whenever the explosion happened, and they were trying to put the fire out, when they were like right in like the blast of the radiation, the next day their skin was falling off. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's really different, but it doesn't affect, I don't think it like makes you go crazy, you know, like an insane person. But they're making it out like, oh yeah, it makes you like go crazy. They have to go in the insane asylum. The fuck? No, you just fucking die. All your fucking insides just melt.
This movie was just bad and gimmicky and done in poor taste and just really bad. Because you never really see...
I just bad.
You never really see anything that happens, because is this found footage? I don't think it's found footage. It's shaky cam, but I don't think it's found footage. But for some reason, you still don't see any of the creepy shit actually happen on camera.
Exactly. Also, like, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, oh, well, they're making it seem like, well, they said that the tour guide guy, like, was there, like, all the time. And then he was like, well, he's like, well, this has never happened before. But then the whole time I was like, well, have the scary zombie, crazy radiation people been there the whole time? Or have they not? But then at the end, we find out that they just escaped again. But I'm like, they escaped again? Like, what the fuck? Like, some fucking dumb shit there, dude. Get that shit taken care of.
And, you know, just FYI for anyone who, you know, wasn't very bright in high school and would believe that the people of Chernobyl affected by the radiation are just kept in a insane asylum. They're probably not.
No. They're
trying to live their normal lives.
Yeah, they're trying to live their normal lives. Like, they'll probably get sick later, but, like, they're still alive and they're still functioning in society.
Granted, I mean, you're allowed to be suspicious because Russia is sketchy as hell. They do weird shit, like not properly build nuclear factories, but I think we would know by now if they just had a bunch of people in an insane asylum affected by radiation.
I know, right? And they were all, like, all pale and, like, creepy and, like, wanted to eat you. The fuck? You know what I mean? Like, didn't it seem like they were zombies because they wanted to, like, eat everybody or everybody, yeah, like kind of died? They, like, I don't know.
Remember Yuri, so...
Yeah, they were just, like, murderous. That doesn't make you, like, all crazy, like, you want to kill everybody. Just makes you really sick. Sick,
the
like
fucking ending,
like vomit.
The goddamn ending where what's his face and what's her face are like, oh god, my face, I can't see. And they're crawling towards the Russian army.
Yeah. Bad. Like, and then that's just, yeah.
And they're like, we're going to take you to the hospital. But then the final jump scare is, oh no, it's a hospital filled with the mutant people.
I mean, like, that's like a scary part in itself whenever, like, you think that you're gonna be going to the hospital, but instead you're, like, thrown in jail and you're like, fuck, now how am I gonna get out of this one?
That happens to me all the time.
God, yeah. And then she's like, I also am blind and my face is burning. And I'm like, what? Almost like, was there another radioactive blast that just happened? Because, like, if not, then this is not right.
Actually, I watch an urban explorer, Exploring with Josh. I wrote about him for Postcard Press. And he did a series of exploring Pripyat. I got this shit. And the tour guide said that they're actually working on containing the thing that broke, the building where the most radiation is expelling from. They're working on containing that. So within 30 years, maybe people would be able to slowly return.
Yeah, they're building, like, literally a giant concrete thing around it, because that's literally the only thing that will do anything.
That's not going to fix things overnight, because the radiation is still all over the place.
Exactly. And, like, another reason why I wish you would have seen Chernobyl, whenever they were showing, like, what was happening during the aftermath, like, there's still a lot of radiation, yes, but, like, a lot of it was, like, gotten rid of during the, like, months and years following. And, like, I'm talking, like, dirt was dug up because it was irradiated. Water was, like all these things. Animals were killed. Trees were cut down. It was just, like, cleared out. And so, like, you still are going to have to wait for it to be, you know, like, have your little radiation detectors and make sure it's, like, okay and livable. But you're right, it won't happen overnight, but you might have to wait a couple years for it to, like, actually go into effect, that concrete. And also, that concrete isn't going to last forever. It's only going to last for, I don't know if they said, like, what, 50-something years, and then it would have to be done again because, of course, concrete is not a permanent structure. It will have to be you know, replaced over time as well.
I'm surprised we never got a sequel, because looking at the Wikipedia page, this movie was made on a $1 million budget and grossed $37 million. I don't know. I feel like movies like this one are what give horror movies a bad reputation.
Yeah.
Yes. It has some exploitative nature to it. It's dumb. Poorly researched, obviously. They don't know how radiation works.
Yeah, they don't know how radiation works. Like, what the fuck? I was in there like, what the fuck? This is so incorrect. It's like shocking. Damn.
And just the scares weren't good. That's what it all ultimately comes down to. It wasn't that scary. The actual like events of Chernobyl are much more horrifying than this movie.
If you want to get scared, and this movie just didn't, if you thought this movie was scary, just go watch the miniseries on HBO Chernobyl, because that'll fucking scare you. Just because it's like all real, and it's just really, really just terrible, and it just really freaks you out, because it really happened. It was a real tragedy. It's just crazy.
World is crazy. Let's see.
Yeah, super crazy. What did you think about the production of this movie?
It was made with $1 million. So
it's like so much fucking money for that shit-looking bear.
I don't know. I'm just really... Because it wasn't found footage, right? It was just shaky cam?
It was just shaky cam, because in the beginning I thought it was going to be found footage, but it was simply like some videos real quick. And then the rest of the movie was just the shaky cam.
Yeah, the production I didn't think was good, because like I said, even though it wasn't found footage, for some reason the camera never seemed to capture the scary parts. Like, you never really got a good look at the quote-unquote zombies or people dying. It was just tame.
It was very tame, and it was all just, like, implied violence. And I was like, well, I was waiting for them to do, like, an extreme close-up on, like, one of the scary monster faces. And they just like didn't until like, I guess in the end you could kind of see it, but I was like, damn, if I could just get like a glimpse of their face, maybe it'll scare me more.
Mm-hmm.
But because I didn't see the face, I didn't even know what the fuck it was. So I was like, it could be like a person that just lives here, is like a homeless person that's kind of like a drifter, that's like a regular human. Or it could be this, or it could be a monster. I just wasn't even sure what the fuck. And then it was like, oh, it's like a human zombie radiation monster thing.
A sequel? No, there was no sequel.
There better never be a sequel. What the fuck? I hope not, because that'd be like, what can you possibly do? What more?
I guess they could go to Fukushima after the tsunami hit and their nuclear reactor had a meltdown.
Yeah, that's the other place that I really don't know too much about that.
That's another town that's kind of been abandoned because of the radiation levels.
That's crazy.
But that wasn't really anybody's fault. It was the tsunami's fault.
Yeah, like everybody was pretty much like living, you know, safely near the power plant, but like that, yeah, a natural disaster will definitely disrupt things.
Nuclear energy seems risky. There are too many natural disasters, but then maybe there would be less natural disasters if we switched to nuclear energy. Oh god.
It's just a fucking the fucking broken record just goes on and on.
Exactly. But you know what? I saw a bunch of those wind turbines and they're doing all right. They're doing their job.
Yeah.
They're not producing radiation.
No, not at all.
Just kill birds.
Yeah. Poor birds.
I guess realistic aspects we kind of talked about throughout the podcast with the real tragedy of Chernobyl.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, like, being attacked by, like, rabid dogs is scary.
Yeah, because, you know, those radioactive dogs are just all over the place in Pripyat.
I'm almost positive that, like, there aren't any at all, because there was a whole episode about killing dogs.
I heard about that.
That was rough. It was rough.
Like, if they still do anything to prevent the radiation from spreading, it would be kill any animals that seem to spend too much time in a Pripyat.
Yeah. Right now, since, like, the nature is kind of, like, taken back over, if, like, a good way to, like, know if it's, like, livable, if, like, animals are able to kind of, like, sustain life there without, like, showing any, like, physical defects anymore. So I guess we'll see what happens after they do that big concrete thing that kind of covers that main area.
I mean, there's something weirdly beautiful about Pripyat, just with how nature has taken back over this town, how it's really like no one ever lived there. Did you watch the, I think it was a History Channel series called When Humans Are Gone?
No, I haven't watched that.
It's just, it doesn't talk about, you know, what killed the humans, but just what's going to happen to everything after we're gone. And it just talks about how these structures will crumble and nature will take back over. And they talked about Pripyat because that's the best example they have to get an idea of what the world's going to look like in 40 years after humans have disappeared off the planet.
Oh, that's really interesting. I'll have to see if I can't find that, because that sounds like something I would watch. Yeah,
I think there are full episodes on YouTube. Let me look that up.
Because that's extremely fascinating, you know, and like that's really incredible how nature is able to just kind of do that despite like all odds. Like all the humans are gone out of that city, but like the nature is always going to be there, you know, coming through the cracks in like the concrete and stuff. And, you know, animals can find a way to sustain life there and everything. Yeah, so I agree. Like, with no humans there, it is, like, eerily creepy, yet also beautiful because, you know, nature can still find a way. It's really cool.
And, you know, you don't have to go all the way to Hungary. Ukraine?
Russia.
Russia. Pripyat's actually in Russia? I thought it was in the Ukraine.
Pretty sure. It might be in Ukraine, is it? I thought it... Ukraine. Pripyat. Northern Ukraine near the Ukraine-Belarus border. So yes, Ukraine.
You don't have to... You just walk around the woods for a little while and I'm sure you'll find an abandoned cabin that's been taken back by nature.
Ooh, that's creepy stuff. That creeps me out though, because when you're in like the middle of the woods and there's just like a random ass, like, used to be a home, and you're like, whoa.
Oh, but for you, now, you could visit Centralia.
You know what? I can visit Centralia, but like when I think about
scared.
That, no, I'm not scared. When I think about Centralia, everything I've seen, like, you know, photos of people that have visited there, it's just overrun by just like litter and fucking graffiti, just shit everywhere, broken things. You know what I mean? It sucks.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, that is exactly.
Urban explorers who don't respect the environment they're exploring.
Yes, I would love to go there if it was just as it was, but unfortunately, and now that stuff is present, the people that visit, they'll like do more. It'll just like go on and on. So I feel like it's lost its value. It's lost its like mystery, and it's just kind of like a graffiti ridden like highway.
I don't think you can blame Silent Hill for that, but Silent Hill definitely popularized Centralia.
Yeah, absolutely. It did. People just keep the fucking graffiti away, man. I just want to enjoy being creeped out and like being like marveling and being in awe of like a place where people don't live anymore. The fuck?
Exactly. I'll have to look it up because I know they do stuff for Halloween and I've been wanting to go since we started this podcast. There's an abandoned small amusement park 3 hours away from us in West Virginia.
Oh, that's creepy. Band amusement parks really creep me out. That's super like, cool, though. I'd love to like go.
It's not one. A big, exciting amusement park with roller coasters. There's just a Ferris wheel and the swings. But the swings are actually pretty horrifying because back in the 1920s, it broke and a girl fell off and flew into the food stand and died.
Shit.
Yeah. But they do stuff for Halloween because, you know, it's probably haunted. And so they give like night tours, but I don't want to go at night because I want the pictures.
Yeah, it's like I like to see
it. I don't want to, I want to see it and experience it without a bunch of teenagers going, oh, I'm so scared, hold my hand.
I want to see it without like the green glow of a glow stick.
But what's this Centralia? It wasn't an overnight abandonment like Chernobyl, but the coal mines underneath the city caught fire, so people had to evacuate.
Simply because the town became condemned, so they couldn't safely like stay in their structures because there was like a sinkhole issue, so they just kind of had to clear out.
Okay. I thought it was a fire that's burning underneath the city that's slowly like decaying everything.
That's the Silent Hill part that is like kind of like a fictional aspect, but I don't think it's like that crazy. Deep. You know what I mean? I just think it's like a town where you can't go. I don't think it's like a fire. I don't think it's still burning. I don't know. Let me see. It shouldn't be still burning. Centralia, Google. Excellent. Are the Centralia fire still burning? Today, Centralia, okay, the 2018, it says, today, Centralia still burns as one of 38 known active mining fires in the Pennsylvania. What the fuck? Come on, history.com. Do better with your grammar.
The sentence might continue in the Pennsylvania area.
Yeah, wait, it says in the, Yeah, so according to this 2018, it seems that the fires, come on. It's like a long-ass article. Yeah, the ground beneath the city itself became hotter and hotter, reaching over 900 degrees Fahrenheit. Smoke poured from the sinkholes, blah, 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 blah. People had to leave. Everybody had to leave. Today, Centralia still burns as one of 38 known active mining fires in the Pennsylvania. I guess they meant to say area. According to the state's Department of Environmental Protection, the fire could burn for another century if left uncontrolled. Modern-day Centralia is known as much for the blaze and the graffiti that covers its abandoned highway as for the mining that once sustained it. And forget extinguishing the fire that has turned the town from a small mining center to a place infamous for its hidden blaze. As geologist Steve Jones told Smithsonian's Kevin Krizik, putting it out is the impossible dream. So I guess it's just far too dangerous to even try to deal with it.
Yeah.
And people can't live there because there's no longer any industry to sustain anybody's lifestyle. So they have to go elsewhere to find work. So yeah, it is still burning. So ain't that some shit? Damn.
Yeah. Fucking wild. Because I thought it was the burning that inspired the fogginess of Silent Hill.
Yeah, it looks like in the photos there's like some smoke that comes out, but it's not like foggy as fucking raining ashes. I'm sure that happened like when the fires first started, but I think now it's just a creepy ghost town with like some white smoke coming out of some sinkholes and the fucking graffiti fucking everywhere.
The graffiti, oh, there's a giant penis. I was about to say the graffiti kind of looks cool, but it's... There's a giant penis. If there was more like Banksy style art, it might be really cool. But
yeah, wouldn't that be better? Like, if it was some artistic shit, not like some dumb shit, that would make me maybe want to go. But yeah, since the ground is so hot there, it did say that if you look at pictures, you can see like the asphalt is just like fucking cracked open and shit and all fucked up, and you definitely shouldn't drive over it. That's why people gotta park, you gotta park and walk, you know, around stuff, and watch for sinkholes and things, of course. And sinkholes are another fucking real horror show. Like, you ever see those things, man? Like, you gotta watch. You're fucking, it'll swallow you up. That's some urban, like, fucking, like, what's it called? The sand that swallows you up? Like,
sand?
Yeah, quicksand. Sorry, I'm tired. Urban quicksand.
It's fine. I feel like if you're tired, that's a good sign for us to wrap it up.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's 7, so I guess we've been,
talking about it for a little while.
An hour. Yeah, about an hour. It's pretty good.
Maybe if things pan out.
Yeah.
Maybe if things pan out for me, the next time we come up to Pennsylvania, we'll see about going to Centralia. I'll hold your hand and make sure you don't fall in the asphalt.
Yeah, you know what? We absolutely should. I think I would probably have more fun if I had, if I went with, like, you know, like my friend or something like that. So, that would give me an extra, like, reason to want to go.
Just completely recreate the first Silent Hill game.
Yeah. So no, let's recreate the movie and, like, you be the mom and then I'll be like the motorcycle girl because my hair's short. And,
I can play my daughter.
Yeah, we'll leave our men in like the alive world, and then we'll be in the dead world because we are dead and we're ghosts. What? Ooh. Whoa!
All right, that just let's wrap this shit up.
Okay, excellent. Okay, wrapping up outro. Here we go. Real Horror Show was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed by Sam Odie. Today we learned that you should not make a cheesy ass horror film in the same place there was a horrific disaster that killed people IRL. Not cool. All right.
And, like, respect when you urban explore, remember some of these places were actually people's homes and their memories are still there. So don't be a disrespectful douchebag.
Exactly. Don't be the ugly traveler. Don't be an ugly American. Be a respectful traveler, always. Like what you hear, you can find Real Horror Show on Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Store, Stitcher, Podcoin, and iTunes. Really, really like what you hear? Follow us on Twitter at horrorshow_pod or search for Real Horror Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Real Horror Show. Like our page and share our stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found, realhorrorshow.com. Want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? Comment on our website or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Want to argue with us about something or think you have a really great horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers from the internet? Submissions are open for movie reviews. Check out the submit page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it's not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. I'm just going to fucking skip the written reviews part for right now. I'm still working on it. But there are written reviews on our website, and we've been posting them periodically. So you can go read them. They're on the website, and they're great. Yeah. We love horror, and if you're listening, you do too. Please help us keep our project going by visiting our support page on our website where you can make a one-time donation via PayPal. We also have an Amazon wish list if you feel like buying us something tangible will help convey your love more than a monetary donation would. Also, buy us a coffee. It's a button you can click that will pay us the amount you would need to buy a coffee. A little bit goes a long way. Submissions are open for our yearly anthology called The October Monologues. Check out the submission guidelines on our website and send us your creepy shit. Any other pertinent news, Sam?
If I die, I don't know. I'll let our listeners fight over who gets to replace me.
Excellent. If you die, I will always remember you, and I will not rest until I avenge you. I'll find the Black Dragon.
Thank you. I hope you do.
Our outro song is Black Dragon. We're going to find the Black Dragon
and send him a t-shirt.
I send him a t-shirt, and then it'll be like, oh, how did they find me?
No, I told David that I want to send him a t-shirt, and he's like, Sam, that's how you'll get murdered.
And that's how Sam died.
Like, when we find his address, I just want to send him the t-shirt the same way he sent me the CD. I'll just wrap it in notebook paper.
Just wrap it in fucking notebook paper and, like, tape over it, like, a million times so it's really hard for him to open. And then write, like, to James Bond and the Black Dragon. And he'll be like, oh, have I been found out?
I'm kind of picturing the Black Dragon looks like, his name suddenly escaping me. The guy from 13 Cameras.
Oh my god, Jer. The fucking body.
I'm going to picture him as Jer.
Because Jer, like, I mean, he has all this, like, cool technology, but he has, like, no, he's, like, not, like, clever and tidy, because he would send, like, some notebook paper in the fucking mail with, like, shit-ass handwriting.
Yeah, and, like, the fucking file folders, it's like he had the idea of organization for this, but then didn't actually follow through, so we don't know what the hell he's trying to tell us and how we should read this shit in order.
He has just no sense of organization. He's like, they'll just figure it out because it's completely obvious what I want and what my values are and my mission, and so I'm just gonna just file dump it all on the CD. The fuck? Anyway,
I don't know. I hope I get interviewed by an FBI agent.
I can't stop picturing is like the movie Red Dragon, like. Lecter movie, so I keep thinking of Ray Fien as like the great red dragon, so I'm like thinking of the great black dragon, and I'm like, huh, it's like this fucking crazy guy with like a back tattoo of a dragon.
Yeah, but I think I'm gonna save telling this to my family until Thanksgiving, because a lot of people are coming, because my cousin's having a baby and everybody wants to see the baby and hear about the baby, and I need something to get some attention on myself, so I feel like a terrorist threat to my place of employment is a good one.
Anyway, our outro song is called Creepy Doll by Jonathan Coulton. And I think that's it. So thank you, fuck off, and have a swell evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.